702.
The Big Interview
with Bongani Bengwa.
Let's catch up now with the state of our cities. The South African Cities Network has released its State of Cities report. It did so on Friday. And it's showing that our population is expected to grow by 19 to 24 million people by the year 2050. Now, many of those people will live in our cities and towns. Already, of course, we've been experiencing rapid urbanization. More than two-thirds of us live in urban areas. But as we see that rapid urbanization, many, many people come to urban centers looking for economic opportunities, and they're not able necessarily to find their way. Nosipho Hlatshwayo is the executive manager for programs at the South African Cities Network. Nosipho, very good morning to you. Thank you for your time today.
Good morning, Bongani, and morning to your listeners.
A lot of what has emerged in your report is indeed quite alarming. One in five of us now, that's 20%, who live in the big cities, live in informal housing. That's a sad state of affairs, is it not?
It is. And if we are going to continue experiencing population growth as it is predicted over time, it's a challenge that city governments cannot ignore, but not just only city governments, all of government. In fact, because the delivery of housing doesn't only rest with the city of Joburg or city of Cape Town, but provincial governments and national governments as well. And that also brings about the need for provision of water, sanitation, and other infrastructure to support a sustainable human settlements.
Your report really drills down in many ways the granular details around who is suffering in South Africa. If I note, for example, let's take the city of Johannesburg, and I think it's the same for Cape Town. Nearly half of residents lived on less than 1,300 rand a month as of 2016. Is that situation improving or getting worse? In the aftermath of the pandemic, I'm afraid I don't even want to know what the answer is.
Unfortunately not. Because as we see more job losses, which are not coupled with, job creation, at least to absorb those people that have the minimum skills and some of them don't have skills, we are likely to see those numbers increasing. And what it then does, Bongani, is that for cities, when you have more people who are not employed, it means that they can't pay for water, right? They can't pay for their rent, and it puts pressure on municipalities. But their own livelihoods, then they start depending on the indigent programs of municipalities, which then further puts another burden on municipalities. So it is a crisis. It's something that we all should be concerned about, not only government, but all of society, in trying to address the employment challenge, as it has got a ripple on effect on the social and the economic lives of people.
Well, that raises a very interesting question, because the lion's share of the budget goes to national and provincial governments. And as you point out, local government is meant to generate its own revenues. How can it do so from the indigent?
That's the biggest challenge. So you would also know that there is an appropriation of funds that comes from national government. So in the State of the Cities report that was launched, we're raising a very critical question to say, shouldn't we then look at how that money is appropriated, so in the various spheres of government? If cities are where the majority of people are living, and that's where the tire hits the tarmac, shouldn't then we allocate as much funding to address these challenges? But allocating money on its own is not going to resolve the problems. You need a capable state. You need a capable city government. You need to rid that city government of any squabbling that might delay people actually receiving the services that that money was intended for. So it's a complex bag of issues that need to be addressed. Money is one of them, but we do need to work together, all of society, in addressing this, and we need to make sure that we build capability in the cities for these challenges to be addressed.
When you talk about all of society working together, I mean, it's clear, as you say, local government can't do this on its own. But we've seen disasters, and you can take your pick, really. Look at what happened in Nelson Mandela Bay, that metro. I'll take another example. Was it Lichtenberg, where the clover factory decided to relocate from because of the inability of that local municipality to provide it with a space where it could operate? A lot of people in the private sector will say, hang on, we'll just be throwing more of our money after bad.
That is very true. So that's why we say a capable city government is very important. And when we say it's capable, we mean that the conditions for the municipal workers themselves are conducive for them to do their work, but the conditions are also allow for investment to be attracted to the city, number one, and also to be retained in the city. Now, if you have a situation where, because of political instability or because there are no services like water and electricity, then business decides to move, that creates a disaster. In instances where you find that there's already a very high level of unemployment, so it's all of these elements, these pieces of the puzzle, which you can't look at them separately, that need to be fixed for the system to function and for business to realize that their role that they play in a particular community is not just limited to them creating jobs, but it is about livelihoods of people as well.
So what do we do with this? Because you're calling for a capable state. Business can create all the jobs that it wants to, but if the environment in which it must do that isn't conducive, those jobs will not be forthcoming. Because one of the things you say is that even where cities are delivering, it's a mixed picture, right? Because you might have electricity or access to electricity, but then power is intermittent or it's too expensive. Or you have electricity, but you don't have water.
So there's a few things that this report highlights. Okay, so the first one, you know, last year there were elections and there were some cities or municipalities are going to go through the process of restructuring. We're saying that when municipalities restructure, they really need to think carefully about the impact of service delivery, because it takes about 7 years after restructuring has happened for that municipality to stabilize, right? The second thing that we also highlight is a need for municipal leadership and political administration stability there. When it is absent, it then affects service delivery. But most importantly, we also talk about the role of everyone in the delivery, holding those that are in office to account. Among the instruments that we can utilize, I had earlier on cities are doing their IDPs, is to participate in those processes. But for cities to open up other channels for you as a resident to participate in their decision-making process as well.
Nuspa, where are organizations like SALGA when things like this happen?
So SALGA plays a specific role, and it deals with all municipalities, among others, is to build capacity of the councillors to do the work that they're supposed to do. And they've done tremendous work in making sure that those councillors are inducted in order to do their work. But then they're also assisting some of the policy around the salaries and the like. So as much as SALGA has done the work, as much as we can say cities have done some of their work, we're still saying we can still do more. But we do need to hold these structures accountable to do what they're supposed to do in terms of the constitution, because they are established in terms of the constitution.
Nuspa Tlatjwa, I appreciate your time. Executive Manager for Programs at the South African Cities Network. And I was asking the question earlier, do you maintain any ties with your rural roots? Do you still go to the village? Maybe you came from a farming community. As many and many, many of us leave the rural areas, increasingly there's no emakhaya or village to go back to. One in five of us in the big cities live in informal settlements, and that problem is expected to grow.